Lizzie, my dear, can you come running over here?
Woo!
Tell us why you have a computer.
All right. The sound is all coming from the computer and it's all very technological and software-ish. But yeah, we're not using... the sound isn't actually coming from the keyboard, it's coming from the computer and we're making up sounds. And if you want to know more about it, don't ask me, ask Luke. Or Josh.
Okay, thanks, Liz. It's a real... it's a real step forward. A lot of stuff happening in our music team that's just really awesome, kind of stepping forward all the sounds that we're using, and it's a whole new age. I said to Luke, I think it's like a pipe organ. In the olden days, centuries ago, they built pipe organs that could make all sorts of different sounds by, you know, shortening the length of the pipe and the wind and all of that sort of stuff. It's the same principle, except it's in a computer. Okay, so it's all good. How are we?
Good.
Good. Oh dear, that doesn't sound all that good. A few people are good. We sound like we're on a bit of a not so sure thing. Are we okay?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're okay. Is anybody feeling excellent?
Yeah.
Oh, there's a few. Anybody here that's awesome?
Oh, yeah.
There's a few that's awesome. Okay, so let's hope as we move through the morning, we can kind of get ourselves to that sort of a place. That would be really good. We have been talking over the last 4 weeks about foundations of family. Hasn't it been an amazing series? Starting with that great interview with all of those generations of Waylands, talking about how they have served God and some of the things that they've done in their family. And today is going to be the last wrap-up session, and I get to do it, which is really good. I'm really pleased about that. So all of this great stuff has been said, and I was really, really tempted to talk a lot this morning about how to raise a godly family. But I decided that I wasn't going to do that after all. I thought there's a lot that I could tell you about how to raise a godly family, but I thought not everybody's actually up to that bit in their life. But I will give you a few freebies just in case you are interested. I learnt a lot about raising a godly family before I was married. If you want, don't think you are too young to think about how you're going to lay foundations into the life of your family in the future, because you're better off thinking about it early than getting into a panic later on and realizing that you did everything upside down and back to front, okay? So that's freebie number one. That's start planning early. Freebie number two, there cannot be, any discipline without love and security. Parents, your job is to build love and security into your children first. That's my other freebie. Okay? All right? There you go. First priority. So, what I did think about, though, as I came to this, I thought lots of people are in different places. Some people live at home with their parents and are not even up to thinking about future relationships yet. Some people have been married for more than 50 years and we have got everything in between in the whole spectrum as we think about relationships. But do you know, whatever you are up to, whatever you need, whatever your experience is of family life, you will not build strong foundations of family of relationships unless you engage in the faith dimension. You have got to engage beyond just what you can read in a book about child rearing or childbirth or marriage or anything like that, and you've got to engage in a faith dimension in what you were doing. There is a lot that you can read. There is a lot you can learn. And believe me, I've done a lot of that. And some of those books are from the secular world and they have got great, sensible advice that you should follow. Some of them are written by Christians and they've got great, sensible advice that you should follow. There's books in both categories, by the way, that are stupid and you should ignore. But whatever else you learn, whatever else you understand from going to a course or watching a DVD or looking at other people around you, as you learn about family, as you learn about building relationships, you've got to engage a faith dimension in what you do. You need to know that God is for families and relationships, and He wants you to be successful in family life. He is the one in the first place who said, it's not good for man to be alone. Relationship, right from the very, very beginning, was God's idea. And He didn't put that out there as an idea for you to have terrible relationships all around you and for everything to be a disaster. He wanted you to be in relationship with other people and in the family and beyond your family, and He is for it. He is for family. He is for friendship. He is for marriage. He is for relationships. The family is recognized today as the foundation of God, of society, and it was God's idea in the first place. It was God's idea. So He wants to help you, whether you're a single parent or whether you're in a couple and parenting kids, whether you've got kids or you don't have kids, whether your family love you or whether your family hate you, whether you love your family or whether you hate your family. All right, whether you are looking for a partner in life or you've been married for more than 50 years, God wants you to have successful relationships, and you will not do it without faith. You will not do it without faith. So whatever kind of family you have or don't have, you have to engage the faith dimension. Now, I was looking a lot in the Bible over this last week about families. And a lot of what you read in the Bible, when you read about some of the families that were there, they weren't very good at it. And we'll come to some of that in a minute. But you know that the Bible calls Abraham the father of faith. And the promise to Abraham in the beginning was that through him all of the families on earth would be blessed. So, you know, we have got to engage that faith dimension. Abraham, the father of faith, and his promise originally was that through him all of the families on earth would be blessed. So we've got to get ourselves right into this. So how are we going to do it? The very, very first thing is that we've got to sort out our personal discipleship issues first. If you're going to engage the faith dimension and get those relationships around you right now and into the future, then you've got to sort yourself out, number one, okay? And as I looked, you know, I looked through families in the Bible, because we've read a lot of scriptures and we've talked about what it says about the role of parents, the role of children. You read right through the scripture, and there is promise after promise after promise about the family. And we're going to talk about some of those a little bit later in this morning. I'm going to show you quite a few of where they are. But you do not have to look very far in the Bible to find a dysfunctional family. And in fact, you will be struggling to find a really good one that managed it for more than a couple of generations, despite the fact that it's God's promise for the generations in the family. Where does it start? Cain and Abel, the very first brothers in the Bible. What happened? Disaster. One of them murdered the other one. This is not a good start. This very first family in the Bible was completely dysfunctional. It was so dysfunctional that one brother murdered the other brother. All right? This is not exactly a shining example of the success of family life, is it? We've already talked even about Abraham, who I've mentioned and said was the father of faith. You know, one of the very first things he did was pass his wife off into a harem and say that she was his sister. I mean, the guy was off the wall, okay, as far as this was concerned. This was not such a great idea. Joseph, his brothers loved him so much that they sold him as a slave to a whole another country. Yeah? This is how dysfunctional these families were, as you go on. David, who's held up in the Bible as a man with a heart after God, the greatest king that Israel ever had, was an adulterer and organized to murder the husband of the girl he liked. It sounds more like a plot line from Desperate Housewives than it does like something that ought to be in the Bible, which is supposed to be holding up an example to us of what successful family life ought to be like. Now, what I want you to understand from this in the first place is that if your family is completely dysfunctional, then it's obvious that that's normal. Because that's what the families in here were like. Okay? So first of all, take heart, because this book is full of families with really seriously strange stuff going on in a whole lot of them. There is nothing that you could watch in a plot line in a soap opera that probably isn't in here somewhere in terms of families. Lots of people in this book did not do a very good job of it, okay? And their stories are written here for us to look at. And you will be struggling to find fabulous examples of people who have passed a godly heritage down from generation to generation to generation to generation. But right at the beginning, that was what God said he wanted people to do. And they stuffed it up and they made it a complete disaster of it. So many of them, time after time after time. But the call of God was still there to do it, and the promise of God was still there to do it. You know what I'm glad about? We live in New Testament times. All those stories, Old Testament. They did not have the Spirit of God living in their heart and the possibility of every generation forming its own relationship with God, did they? We live in the New Testament. That's all of those stories are Old Testament stuff, and they did not have the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on every person at every single time. Now, God said in the Ten Commandments that we should honor our father and mother. I want to read you a little bit out of the Gospel of Luke about something that Jesus said. Large crowds were traveling with Jesus. It's from Luke chapter 14. And turning to them, he said, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and children, his brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Will he not first sit down and estimate the cost to see if he's got enough money to complete it? For if he lays the foundation and is not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule him, saying, 'This fellow began to build and was not able to finish.' Or suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Will he not first sit down and consider whether he is able with 10,000 men to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000? If he is not able, he will send a delegation while the other is still a long way off and will ask for terms of peace. In the same way, any of you who does not give up everything he has cannot be my disciple." Honor your father and mother, or hate your father and mother? What's it supposed to be? What I want to say to you is that what Jesus was saying to people is, you seek first the kingdom of heaven. Seek first the kingdom of God. First, be a disciple of Christ. Count the cost. See what it's going to cost you, because it is. It's going to be expensive and there will be demands. But sort out your relationship with God first. The Word of God says, seek first the kingdom of God, not seek first the kingdom of family. Okay? It says, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. Yeah? It doesn't say, seek first the kingdom of family. And sometimes we get sucked into that. because the investment becomes all about family. But we've actually got to get our own discipleship issues sorted out first. We have got to decide that we are going to be disciples of Christ. We've got to decide that our heart belongs first before anything else to the kingdom of God. And then he's going to bless our relationships and bless our families and do all of that sort of stuff. You've got to get, before you can apply faith to your relationships, you've got to get your own thing sorted out first. You've got to deal with your sin and your selfishness and your pride, or you will be the thing that's making a disaster of the relationships all around you. Yeah? I didn't put it in the, what's it called? The PowerPoint for this morning. But, you know, in the book of James, it actually talks about quarrels amongst you and why they happen. And if you were at Hillsong this year, you might have heard Andy Stanley preach an amazing message on that very passage. It's worth downloading and getting a hold of. But it goes on to say, you ask and you don't get what you want. And the reason is because you've got really bad motives and you've got everything all wrong. Saying the same thing I'm saying to you now. Sort out your motives. Sort out your personal ambitions and your desires. Do that first. Sort your own discipleship out so that you can actually in a position to apply the faith dimension to your family and to your relationships, yeah? So that's number one. Number two, get a vision. Get a vision. You need to know what it is that you want. So firstly, sort yourself out. Repent. Get rid of the sin and the selfishness and the pride and all of the stuff in you that's actually stuffing up relationships around you. That's number one. And number two, get a vision for what it is that you want. When God first called Abraham, and it's in Genesis chapter 12, it said, the Lord said to Abram, leave your native country, your relatives and your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. All the families on earth will be blessed through you. So he was saying to Abram, fresh start, move house. Take your family with you. Leave your extended family behind. We're going to this place of great promise where all the families on earth are going to be blessed by you. And Abraham did what God said, and he went through all kinds of struggles and difficulties. And things were happening all around. And then God, as the going gets tougher and tougher, God takes him outside his tent one day. And in Genesis 15, this is what he says to him. The Lord spoke to Abram in a vision, and he said to him, do not be afraid, Abram, for I will protect you, and your reward will be great. And Abram replied, Sovereign Lord, what good are all your blessings when I don't even have a son? Since you've given me no children, Eliezer of Damascus, a servant in my household, will inherit all my wealth. You have given me no descendants of my own, so one of my servants will be my heir. Then the Lord said to him, no, your servant will not be your heir. You will have a son of your own who will be your heir. Then the Lord took Abram outside and said to him, look up to the sky and count the stars if you can. That's how many descendants you will have. And Abram believed the Lord, and the Lord counted him as righteous because of his faith. You need a vision. You've got to have something that you can see that's what you're looking for. And if you haven't had one up to now, it's not too late to get one. All right? It's not too late to get one. You need a vision for your marriage. You need a vision for kids. You need a vision for your future partner if you're not married yet and what you want that relationship to be like. If you haven't done it before, you can start now. What are you looking for in a future partner? If you are not married yet, what are you looking for in a future partner? What do you want your marriage to be like? What do you want the relationships in your family to be like? What do you want your kids to be like when they grow up? Seek God. Get a vision and start from the idea that He wants good things for you. He doesn't want you His plan and his purpose is not for you to have a family where everybody fights and argues all the time and can't stand each other. That is not God's plan and purpose. He has got a bigger plan, but you need to get a vision for what it is that God wants for you. Andrew went to Japan earlier in the year, and every week in the Japan Jesus Life House Church, they have engagements. And it's because the pastor preaches constantly, get a vision for marriage. And all of these young people are finding partners and getting engaged and getting married all of the time. You've got to seek God. I remember one of the first times I really heard about this was many, many years ago, before I was married, I will say. And I read a book by a lady by the name of Catherine Marshall. And she tells a story in that of pulling a book off the shelf to read and this piece of paper fluttering out. And on it was a list of things that she had prayed for her son when he was a little boy. At the time that she was telling the story, he was a grown man who was married and I think had children of his own. And this list that fluttered out of that book and then down onto the floor as she picked it up was a list of things that she had written down when he was a little boy of all of the things that she wanted in a partner for her son. And guess what? She could go down the list and think about the young woman that her son had married and go tick, 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 because they were all things that God had honored. She had a vision for what she wanted the partner of her child to be like. I prayed then, and it was before I met Ron. I might have known him, I don't know. And I prayed, not for a particular person, and girls and boys, sometimes you get fixed a particular person in your head, and you start making a list that's all the things that you actually think is in that person, and half of the things you think are in that person you're wrong about, just by the way. But begin to write a list. If you're not married yet and that's a goal for you, then write a list of all of the things that you want in a partner. Write it down and give it to God and say, God, this is the person who I'm looking for, because that's what I want to have in my life. That's the kind of future I want to have. That's the kind of relationship that I want to have. Your children, think about them. Think about their future. What do you want them to like? I realize that I may have made a great error in doing this, but when my kids were little, I often used to pray for what they would be like when they were 5 and when they were 10, and when they were 15. I don't know why I stopped at 15. That's the great mistake that I must have made, I think. I don't know. But when they were little babies, 15 seemed like a really, really long way away at the time. Now, even the littlest one is 15, and it's all history. But do you get what I mean? Get a vision. If your kids are little, begin to pray into their future. What's Malachi going to be like when he's 20? Yeah? What's he going to be like when he's 20? What's Bastion going to be like? That baby's not going to grow any bigger, Vaughn. I don't think that's it. I don't think it's going to go any further, that one there. What are the twins going to be like when they're 25? What is it that's the passion of your heart for the way that they are going to be? Begin to pray in. Begin to pray in and seek God. Get a vision for the future. Yeah? So get a vision. Now, whether it's, as I said, whether it's your kids, whether it's a partner, whether you are married now and it's horrible, get a vision for what it can be like in the future. Get a vision for what it can be like in the future. Okay, next one. Position yourself in faith. Now, it's one thing to get a vision right out there in the future, but you've actually got to act on it. You've got to act on that vision. God said to Joshua, so Joshua is taking over from Moses and they're moving into the promised land. And in Joshua chapter 1, it says this: after the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant. And he said, revelation, Moses, my servant, is dead. Therefore, the time has come for you to lead these people, the Israelites, across the Jordan River into the land I am giving them. I promise you what I promised Moses. Wherever you set your foot, you will be on land that I have given you. From the Negev wilderness in the south to the Lebanon mountains in the north, from the Euphrates to the east to the Mediterranean in the west, including all the land of the Hittites. No one will be able to stand against you as long as you live, for I will be with you as with Moses. I will not fail you or abandon you. Joshua was there in front of the promised land, and God said to him, every place on which your foot shall tread, I have given it to you. Where are you standing? Are you standing in the past where there may have been hurt and distress and pain? Are you standing in the present looking at the current circumstances around you? Or are you actually standing in your future, in the vision, moving forward, taking steps into the promised land? Because God said, every place on which your foot shall tread, I have given it to you. Do you want your kids to grow up and serve God with all their heart? Do you? Some people are nodding. It's good. Well, start to pray with them when they're little. Teach them the word. Be an example of serving God. Bring them along with you while they do it so they understand how important it is. You leave them at home every time, they're going to think it's not for them. Bring them with you and they'll understand that they're part of the kingdom of God right from the very, very beginning. Yeah? Do you want to have a great future marriage with lots of openness and great communication? Well, learn how to be a great communicator. Start yourself. Be an open communicator with your friends. Learn those principles of give and take and of forgiveness and understanding, and then you'll be able to put them into practice in whatever relationship you're in. Do you want a husband who loves God? Yes. Well, cut all the boy you don't. Ron doesn't want a husband who loves God. There you go. Cut all the boys off the list who don't love God. They shouldn't even be on it. Okay? Forget them. And if that means that Justin Bieber or somebody like that just gets left behind, so be it. So be it. All right? Same way, same the other way around. Okay? Do you want a wife who loves God? Then get rid of all the girls who don't off your list, because it's not going to happen that way. Okay? So, where are you living now? You've got to live in faith for the future, not miserable about the past or the present, but you've got a vision. You've got to live out that vision. Take every step you can to get yourself into the place that you need to be in for that vision to be real, and speak into it in faith. Yeah, that's what you've got to do. All right, and the fourth one there, and it kind of links into that last thing, is you've got to hang on to the Word of God. It can be a bit of a ride. Some journeys are rougher than others to get to where you want it to be. Family is the best, and therefore it is the hardest, because it's the thing that hurts you the most. Your closest relationships are the thing that have got the most power to bless you and the most power to hurt you in your life. And so it's the hardest thing as well as the best thing. It has an effect on you like nothing else can. Like nothing else can. And there will be days when you need to hang on to the promise of God to see you through tough times. Abraham had all kinds of trouble. He waited years before he saw the fulfillment of his promise. Sarah laughed at the thought that she might have a child, but they had to hang on to the promise of God. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, it says this, and this is whether you're talking about your families or anything else. It says, Timothy, my son, here are my instructions for you based on the prophetic words spoken about you earlier. May they help you fight well in the Lord's battles. You fight spiritual battles by the word of the Lord. You don't fight spiritual battles out of your own strength and your natural ability. They are fought by the word of the Lord. So you, in your family, and I don't know what your vision is, and maybe now it seems likely and possible, but there'll be tough days. There'll be great days, and there will be tough days. Because guess what? Your family and your relationships are with people. That baby in the second row, do you want to hold it up for us? This baby is no problem. It's not real. Okay, it might cry and make a bit of a noise because it's got a computer chip inside it that's programmed to do it, but it's not going to grow up and say nasty things to its parents or walk out and slam the door or say I hate you or do anything like that because it's not real. But real people do that kind of stuff. Yeah? Real people grapple with real issues, and there will be good days and there will be bad days. All right? And you are going to have to grab hold of the Word of God. And you might go for years thinking, this is all cool and chilled. And then one day you're going to have to grab hold of the Word of God to get you where you need to be. I'm going to share a few scriptures with you. There's a bunch of them here. You can write them down as we go. In Psalm 68, it says, sing to the Lord, sing praise to his name, extol him who rides on the clouds. His name is the Lord, and rejoice before him. A father to the fatherless, a defender of widows is God in his holy dwelling. God sets the lonely in families. His plan for you is not to be lonely, but to be in a family. In Isaiah 59 and verse 21, it says, as for me, this is my covenant with them, says the Lord. My spirit who is on you and my words that I have put in your mouth will not depart from your mouth or from the mouths of your children or from the mouths of their descendants from this time on and forever, says the Lord. That's one of my favorite promises in Scripture. My children and their descendants, the word of the Lord in their mouth, believing for it. Sons are a heritage from the Lord. Children are a reward from him. Psalm 127. Proverbs 13. Good people leave an inheritance to their grandchildren. Proverbs 14 and 26. Those who fear the Lord are secure. He will be a refuge for their children. Proverbs 20 and verse 7. The godly walk with integrity. Blessed are their children who follow them. Psalm 102. The children of your people will live in security. Their children's children will thrive in your presence. Psalm 37, 25 and 26. Once I was young and now I am old, yet I have never seen the godly abandoned or their children begging for bread. The godly always gives generous loans to other, and their children are a blessing. Psalm 128. How joyful are those who fear the Lord, all who follow his ways. You will enjoy the fruit of your labor. How joyful and prosperous you will be. Your wife will be like a fruitful grapevine, flourishing within your home. Your children will be like vigorous young olive trees as they sit around your table. That is the Lord's blessing for those who fear him. That's just a selection of some of the promises of God for family and for descendants. Hang on to these words. Seek God. Grab hold of a word that God is speaking into your heart and fight the spiritual battle that will come against that vision you have for your family on your relationships by the power of the word of God. You will have to engage in a faith dimension if you want to see your family flourish. Yeah? You will have to engage in a faith dimension. Whether you're believing for something great for your family or whether you're seeking a miracle for something else, these principles are exactly the same. It's the faith principle. You've got to get a vision. You've got to position yourself in the vision rather than in your past or your current circumstances. And you've got to hang on to the Word of God. And before you've done all of that, you had better have sorted yourself out to make sure you don't want to spend your life chasing a dream that was actually your own selfish ambition when God had a better and a good plan for your life. Get your own discipleship sorted out first. Seek first the kingdom of God. Allow him to put a vision for relationships and for family into your heart and life, and then grab hold of that thing for all your work. Speak the word of God over it every day if you need to. Speak the word of God over it all. I wonder if the band could come up. We've got the Spirit of God living in us. our possibility of a success rate is so much greater than all of those people in the Old Testament, because they did not have the possibility of the Spirit of God alive in every generation, one after the other, because the Spirit of God just was on one, but it wasn't on the sons and the daughters. It wasn't on the multitudes. But we live in a New Testament day. We live in a faith day. We live in a generation where we have the possibility of God speaking to us as individuals and giving us promises that we can fight for our family through the generations, yeah? And I don't know, some of you, and I know, and I look around and I can see some examples of fabulous family. It's just awesome. But I know even those families that have got great generations have had tough days on the way. They've had tough days when there's been sickness or when there's been financial problems or when they've wondered about a decision that one of their kids has made or something like that. But they're grabbing hold of the Word of God. Yeah? Whether you've got great days now or whether the days now are tough, you still need the Word of the Lord. Yeah? Because it's a faith dimension. And you're not going to find the blessing of God. You will not build great family and great relationships unless you engage that faith dimension in everything you do. Yeah? Why don't we stand together? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Oh, we give you praise, Lord God. Come on, let's lift our hands to Him. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, God. You're worthy of our praise, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Why don't you come? If you've got a need, if you know you need a vision for your family, if you're going through a tough time and you'd like us to pray for, why don't you just come and slip out and come and stand here at the front? There's something you need for your future. Maybe you're thinking you've got kids that you're worried about. Maybe you're looking for a partner for the future. Maybe you're wanting to build a better marriage than the one you've got now. Why don't you just come and slip out of your seat and we'll come down the front, because we want to pray. Because God wants to bless relationships. God wants to bless families. Do you need a vision? Maybe you don't have one yet. You need to reach out to God and get one in your heart. Maybe you feel like you don't have a word from the Lord of something that you can just grab hold of and use it to fight every single day. Why don't you come? We're going to pray for you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, yes, God. Thank you, Jesus. You're worthy, Lord. Oh, we give you praise, God. Thank you, Lord. Your promise, Lord. Children that are going to follow you and serve you all the days of their life. Grandkids that are going to grow up in the house of God and serve Him with a passion and make a difference in their generation. Partners that you don't even know who they are yet, but God knows, because He's got a great and glorious plan for a relationship for you. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. A word from the Lord that's going to enable you to fight every day. So you grab hold of that vision. And like Abraham, you might have to hang on for a long while before you see it all come to fruit, but it will come. It will come, because God has got a great plan and a great purpose. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Maybe if some of the leaders would come, let's just go along the row and just be praying for God's blessing on families, praying for vision for people. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, God. For partners that love and serve God. For kids that are totally off the rails now but need to know you and are going to turn back. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do, Lord. Oh, we give you praise and honor, Lord. We give you glory, Lord Jesus. Because you are able, Lord. You are able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. And you're going to work in the lives of families. Children that are away from you are going to come back to you, Lord. They're going to give their hearts to serve you, Lord God. Oh, thank you, Lord. Marriages are going to be restored and healed and flourishing in a way that they never have before. Oh, thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, for your provision. Because the family is your purpose, Lord God. And you have a promise for prosperity in it, Lord. Oh, for abundance, for fruitfulness, Lord. In Jesus' name. Oh, we give you praise, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. The first thing I said was, if you're going to get your family and your relationships sorted out, the first thing is your own personal discipleship. I don't know, as we just stand here today, is there anybody who would say, Heather, I need to get myself sorted out with God first. I've got to get my relationship with God. Maybe you have been far away from God and you need to come back and get yourself sorted out and on track with Him again. Maybe you've never made a commitment to Him and said, Lord, I want to give you my life. Is there anybody here today who's in that position who wants to say that? Is there anyone today? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. I want to thank you for your blessing on your people. God, that first things first would be our relationship with you, Lord God. That you would enable us to get that right, Lord God. That we would be in love with you more and more every day. Because you are Jesus, King of kings and Lord of lords. We give you our lives, Lord God. We come to you and we want to say that we're sorry, Lord Jesus, for the things that we've done that have separated us from you. We commit ourselves to be your disciples, to follow you, to live under your lordship every day. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you, everybody. Explosion's on tonight. House Builders is on during the week. And next Sunday is Father's Day. So we're looking forward to an awesome day. Yeah? God bless you all. Yeah.